darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, this is Bishop E.W. Jackson in once again for Abraham Hamilton III, and honored to sit in the desk here, in the seat that he usually occupies, and grateful to all of you, and of course, most of all, to Almighty God for the privilege of doing it. So, look, I have got, folks, I have to tell you, just before I get started with this, I was reviewing some of the news pieces, you know, before coming on the program, and I came across this piece with this guy. He's a guy, but he calls himself Ashley Webb. He was a guy who was running, threw himself into the race after Graham Plattner dropped out. And he is a guy, but he thinks he's a woman. And he was saying that he basically thinks that he really does have the XX chromosomes because he menstruates. Now, I will not go into the details of exactly how he thinks he does that. But I have to tell you, folks, I think I must have howled for about 3 or 4 minutes just thinking of how crazy these people are. I mean, and to be able to say this stuff with a straight face. Because it's tragic, but it's also just thoroughly hilarious. And we're supposed to take these people seriously. How can you? How can anybody? This person is delusional. He makes clear that there's some sort of mental thing going on there. And I don't know exactly what it is, gender dysphoria, but it sounds to me like it's a little bit worse than that. You know, when you start thinking, you know, you start thinking that expulsions from your body have to do with the female cycle, and you are a male. Yeah. Well, at any rate, I don't know whether to call that a light note or an absurd note, but I just wanted to share with you all. I said to myself, well, I trust I'll have myself together before the program starts, because I just had to sit back and just howl. Because it is utterly absurd. At any rate, and once again, it raises the question that I had been raising repeatedly over the last, oh my goodness, oh, how long? Well, you know what? Probably over the last 40 years, but I would say more vocally and visibly since social media got started, when I had a video go viral about 15 years ago called Exodus Now, in which I called black Christians to come out of the Democrat Party, which I now affectionately but quite aptly refer to as the Democrat Party. And with this guy, I don't know what his name was, probably Anthony something, but whatever he calls himself now, he calls himself Ashley now. But this guy with this latest iteration of madness, you just, how can Christians associate themselves with this stuff? I don't know. As I've said, one or two things is the case. Either they are deeply deceived. I mean, Satan has just got a hook in them, and he has just, you know, Jesus said that he's such a great deceiver that if it were possible, he would deceive even the very elect. But Jesus said, but it's really not possible. Not at the level the Antichrist is going to be doing it. The people he will deceive will be people who are not saved. Because the saved will see right through him. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, people who know the Word of God, will see right through his mess. And you do kind of wonder, do true Christians see right through his mess, and the people who don't are the people who really aren't saved? I'm just asking. I don't know. You know, the Bible says the Lord knows them that are his. You and I have to make basically an educated guess. Jesus said, by their fruit shall you know them. So you look at their fruit, you look at their character, you look at their behavior, you listen to the things they say, and you make a judgment. I think this person is truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this person is truly born again, truly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I would say, I have met people throughout my, by the way, this this December, my church will be celebrating my Jubilee year, 50 years of walking with God, 50 years of walking with God. It has been quite an odyssey, and it ain't near over yet, folks. So I'm not by any means closing the curtain, but it's a Jubilee year. I got saved on December 22nd, 1976. And so this December of 2026, we're going to be celebrating 50 years of my walking with God. Andrew Walmick's going to be at my church, and we're going to have a banquet on the Saturday before. In fact, this all happens the first weekend of December. It's December 22nd, a little too close to Christmas for that. Andrew Walmick's going to be speaking at my church, and we're going to have a banquet on the day before at one of the local hotels. So I'm looking forward to a great time. I said all that because I was about to say, in my 50 years or near 50 years of walking with God, I have met people like the people I know at AFR. And if you said to me, would you stake your life on their salvation? I could say, I would. I would stake my life on the fact that these folks know the Lord, or that this person knows the Lord. But I met a lot of people who claim to be Christians over the last 50 years. And if you said to me, would you stake your life on that person knowing the Lord? There have been some cases, folks, in which I say, no, I'm not staking my life on that one. You know, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. But I would not stake my life on it. And I met a number of people that I would place in that category. And what is it? It's because of the way they think, the way they speak, the way they act. And you think, man, if this is supposed to be a Christian, I guess in the words of an old Western, I guess we got some learning to do. You know? that's a line, folks. One of those memorable lines out of Shane. I don't know how many of you saw Shane with, what's the old actor's name? It'll come to me, but I'll tell you, that was a great movie. But this young kid wanted to learn how to shoot, and he was showing him what he thought he already knew. And Shane says to him, well, I guess we got some learning to do. And I would say, some of the people I've met, when they showed me what they've got, I think to myself, I think they've got some learning to do. But look, ultimately, God is the judge. That's why I say maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. Anybody who claims to be a Christian and is a member of the Democrat Party, if I had to guess, I would say, no, they're not. Now, in a spirit of humility, I might say, well, yeah, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But if I had to guess, I would say, I can't see how. I can't see how. Maybe they think they are, but I can't see how. Because I cannot see how you can associate the Word of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, the truth of God's Word, with that abomination and all the things that they believe in. I say everything God is against, they're for, and everything God is for, they're against. Look, they hate Christianity for the most part, but they love Islam. I mean, that tells you something right there. They hate Christianity. I mean, I've heard them, you know, Rosie O'Donnell, Cher, and others just absolutely lambast Christianity. They're like the Taliban. They're worse than the terrorists. Christian nationalists. When it comes to Islam, don't be Islamophobic. Don't be Islamophobic. They justify it and glorify it. And I mean, you got Mamdani. He's going to arrest Benjamin Netanyahu when he comes to New York, at least according to him. And then here again, how idiotic can you be? By what authority would you be doing that? In fact, I've heard some legal experts say if he tried to do that, he's the one who would be arrested. But I tell you what, I haven't heard him say anything against Iran, and they've killed, we don't know exactly, because of course it's a closed society. But based on estimates, they've killed somewhere between 50 and 100,000 of their own people over their refusal to bow the knee to this regime. They just executed, I think, two young people not too long ago. I think within the last few days, they just executed two young people. And they've mowed them down by the thousands. I've never heard Mamdani say, this genocide in Iran has got to stop. No. Mm-mm. No problem with that. I don't hear him criticize Boko Haram. I don't hear him criticize Hamas. I don't hear him criticize the Houthis. I don't hear him criticize Hezbollah. I don't hear him I haven't even heard him criticize Al-Qaeda. But he sure can criticize Benjamin Netanyahu and the Jewish state. It's an apartheid state. They're committing genocide. Now, folks, I've been to Israel four times. The third time I went, I think four or five times, but the third time, pretty sure it's the third time I went, you know, I've got to go back and sort of review that because it might be five. But the third time I went, I had an opportunity to meet a Christian Palestinian who owned a shop. And, you know, because obviously you're going into these shops and buying things. This guy's a Christian Palestinian. He was not Jewish. He was Christian. And I got to talking to him, and he said, and he's Palestinian, living in Israel now, living in Israel. And he said to me, I have to watch myself because, you know, Palestinians find out, A, I'm a Christian, and B, that I, you know, have a relationship with Israel and Jewish people, they kill me. Oh, yeah, they kill me. Now, I don't hear Mamdani talk about that. Right? I don't hear any of these leftists who are so busy denouncing Israel. I don't hear them talk about that at all. I don't hear them talk about October 7th. I think one leftist, I'm not sure exactly who this was, but said that, well, you know, Israel kind of brought that on themselves. I mean, that's like the Nazis saying the Jews brought the Holocaust on themselves. So, but this is the Democrat Party. And for people who say, well, but they're on the fringe. Well, Barack Obama sat down with them in a classroom and sang little cute songs. And Schumer endorsed him. And this guy, Syed, out in Michigan, Pocahontas endorsed him. So you can't say these people are just out on the extreme somewhere and they're not part of the mainstream of the Democrat Party when you have United States senators and Congress people endorsing these people. So, again, how, please? Somebody explain to me how a Christian can be a part of that. In fact, I'm going to share with you the scripture. I don't think I shared it here. I'm doing a variety of things. I have to keep track of what I've shared where. But I'm going to share with you a scripture that I'm sure you know, but we all need to be reminded of. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. Stand by, folks. We'll be back in just a moment.
A America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you're a pastor's wife, you know both the blessings and the unique challenges that come with the life you and your husband live daily. We call it living in the fishbowl.
Details have been announced for the 2026 Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. Once again, this year's retreat will be at Pickwick Landing State Park in Counts, Tennessee. From October 20th through the 22nd, pastors and their wives will enjoy rest, renewal, and fellowship hosted by Pastor Bert Harper, Director of Marriage, Family, and Pastoral Ministries at AFA and co-host of Exploring the Word on AFR, and his wife, Jan. Our special speaker will be J.J. Jasper of AFR. Your registration fee covers lodging, meals, and materials. All you need to do is get there. The annual AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat, October 20th through 22nd. Learn more and register at repairingthefoundations.net.
We'd love to see you there.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Now, that scripture I was referring to, with which I'm sure all of you are quite familiar, but it bears repeating from time to time. Of course, I'm sure you all, as I do, you're reading the Bible through all the time. So I probably read the Bible through a couple times a year or very close to that. But it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And it begins at verse 14. Now, this is for people who have allowed themselves to be associated, by the way, not only with the Democrat Party, but with anything that has godless, unbiblical principles at its foundation. And it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Now, there it is. And by the way, I mentioned the black community because here in Virginia, for example, 93% of black voters voted for Abigail Spinberger to be our new governor. And she is about as godless and as amoral as a person can get. I mean, she wants to, they've got proposed constitutional amendments on the ballot for November to enshrine homosexuality and transgenderism in the Constitution of Virginia. That's what the Democrat Party wants. They want the right to kill an unborn baby. Enshrined in the Constitution of Virginia. That's what they want. They are godless, they are immoral, they are wicked, and their vision for society is a very dark one, a very evil one. Now, why would I want to be associated with that? And by the way, so I don't want to make it seem like I'm saying this only to black folks. Because this is true whether you're an American of African ancestry or Irish ancestry or Italian ancestry or German ancestry or Scandinavian ancestry or Asian ancestry or Indian ancestry. If you are claiming to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot covenant with and become bound up in and intricately tied up with something that is godless at its core. You can't. And if you are comfortable with that, I have to wonder, do you really know the Lord? Or are you just a cultural Christian? Are you just somebody who's just kind of going along to get along? You know, one of the first things I learned when I got saved, I started out talking about my Jubilee 50 years ago. When I got saved 50 years ago, one of the first things I learned and really came to understand is the holiness of God. You know, God is holy and righteous altogether. I think it is Psalm 92 that ends by saying, "He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." And while that is not true in all of our thoughts and speech and behavior, nevertheless, we know that his standard is one of righteousness and holiness. Jesus said, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Jesus wasn't saying, well, either you are personally perfect in everything you say and do and think, or you are going to hell. He was saying the standard to which you ought to aspire is the standard, not the standard set by human beings, but the standard set by Jesus Christ. He's the standard. He is why we are humble enough to say, "There but for the grace of God go I," even though our lives are more in order than someone we see walking without God. We are humble enough to say, "There but for the grace of God go I," because we know that our righteousness didn't come from within us. It came from Jesus and was imparted to us as a gift from him when we put our faith in him. So not by works of righteousness that I have done, but by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. But we did make that commitment. We did submit. And now we want to say to the rest of the world, without you doing that, you are lost. But how can you say that when you lock arm in arm with a homosexual, an abortionist, and put yourself on the same level as them, and then vote for the people like that to be in authority? How can you can't have it both ways. You can't do that and then obey this. It says, "Come out from among them and be separate and do not touch what is unclean." You can't. It doesn't work. Now, look, I'm going to say something to you that I don't think I've ever said on the air before. But I hope that you will really take this to heart, because it is consistent with some other things that from time to time I've shared. Like I've said, the Democrat Party really has become a demonic cult. And that is not a joke. That is serious. It really has become a demonic cult. I mean, what I was laughing about at the start of the program, the fact that so many of them buy into that, that it just goes to show, because one of the marks of a demonic cult is you deny reality and you embrace a demonic fantasy, and then you expect everyone else in the cult to embrace it, and you separate yourself from those who will not. That's one of the marks of these cults. And who was it who was recently heard on, of course, we've heard this before, saying to people, recently therapists have been starting to say to people, if your parents or your relatives are supporters of Donald Trump, it is best to separate yourself from them, to not associate yourself with them. Forget about honoring your mother and father, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God gives you. Forget that. Just separate yourself from them because you don't like their politics. You don't like what they support. See, that's a demonic mindset. That's exactly the opposite. I've said everything God is for, the Democrat Party is against, and everything God is against, the Democrat Party is for. It has become a demonic cult. But let me add this to this. You know, this red-green axis, they call it, the intersection between Islamism and communism or socialism, and how we see, like, this guy Saeed, he's a socialist, and Mamdani, he's a socialist, and they're both socialists and Muslims. And I saw him in an interview where he was laughing about the fact that, well, you couldn't figure out a better way to make people sort of question you when you say, I am a Muslim and a democratic socialist. And they're proud of it. Yeah, they're proud of it. But that intersection shares this in common. You know, people like this, what they're really after is trying to create the kingdom of God without God, but rather themselves on the throne. They want the kingdom of God without God, but themselves on the throne. Does that remind you of anyone? Exactly, Satan. We can build a tower to heaven. We don't need God. We can exalt ourselves. We can solve all of our own problems. They'll put Allah on the throne if this little axis were to have its way. Of course, the Marxist, socialists, and communists would want to put the God of atheism on the throne if they had their way, which is why if they ever had their way, they'd end up having to kill each other. And I would say that the Islamists would probably win out because they have a long, sordid history of using force to subdue their enemies. Not that communism doesn't have a history as well, but not nearly as long as Islam. It is deeply, see, communism, like in China, Mao had to sort of wrench out the Buddhism in Chinese people, and he still hasn't done it. I mean, they still haven't done it. But to wrench a lot of that out in order to inject them with this kind of atheist, totalitarian worldview. But you don't have to do that with Islam, because Islam has a long history of martial action and extreme violence in order to impose their will on others. But you know, Satan is a counterfeiter. That's what he does. And there couldn't be a higher counterfeit than the word of God say in the book of Ezekiel? Satan said, I will exalt my stars above the throne of God. I will be like the Most High. I will sit on the sides of the north. In other words, I will be God. I'll do it. You know, I've said Satan was the first trans. Satan's the first intelligent being to determine that he did not want to be what God made him to be. He wanted to create his own identity separate and apart from what he was created to be. So Satan says, I'm not going to be an angel. That's not me. I'm God. So he basically is a trans God with a little g, of course. That's really what he is. That spirit of trans is the spirit of satanic rebellion. But likewise, this desire to create a utopia. Oh, it's going to be so great. Oh, it's going to be so great when we finally get into power and we can take care of everyone and we can make it an equitable society and we can take care of the workers. Oh, it's going to be great. We've heard that siren song before. And you know what it always ends up at? The point of a gun. Mass murder. Mass starvation. Because after all, again, this is attributed to Mao, but I don't know whether Mao or Lenin ultimately said it. I don't think everybody really knows. But it's certainly a communist mantra. If you want to make an omelet, you've got to break a few eggs. Was a euphemistic way of saying, if you want to create utopia, you've got to be prepared to kill the people who are in the way. Now, that is the legacy of Marxism and socialism, and that is certainly the legacy of Islam as well. I think it was Medina when Muhammad finally got to a point where he had sufficient strength in Medina, he marched a bunch of Jews out and cut their heads off. I think about 800. to impose his will on that population. And they've continued to do that. Slavery or death. Second-class citizenship serving Islam as the superior religion and Muslims as the superior beings and accepting your lot, if they allow you to live, accepting your lot as a second-class citizen at best, or maybe it'd be better to say accepting your lot as a slave of Islam. Even if you're not Muslim, you're in slavery to it. They both share the same, the Marxism and Muslimism. I've coined that phrase, Muslimism. They both share the same basic goal, which is to rule the world. They've got a problem, which is they're in competition with Almighty God for that role. And they're never going to win. But you can't tell them that because they're under great delusion. Which the Bible says God would give them up to. That's what they want. That's what they have. And they're just blind as bats. They cannot see straight. They're marching toward their own destruction, but you can't tell them that. They think they're marching to the zenith of human achievement and flourishing. We're going to have ourselves a communist world, socialist world, a Marxist world. And what a grand place it's going to be. And it's all just absolute nightmarish fantasy. Now, there are a few Democrats who seem to want to try to be more Democrats than Democrats, but frankly, I don't trust them either. And some of them are speaking up against this far left lurch. But this has been happening for a long time, folks, a long time. I remember when I was still a Democrat in Massachusetts, some of the same things I'm hearing now, I was hearing then. It hasn't changed. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III. You're listening to the Hamilton Corner. Stand by because we've got more still to come.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Now, speaking of this very afternoon, today, in Manhattan, a Jewish man and somebody with him were attacked by a guy who stabbed them yelling, Allah Akbar. I guess that's where you pronounce it. Allah Akbar, whatever they say. This is what I mean, folks. And look, so let me say something else. I'm probably breaking news here on American Family Radio. So let me say something else that I don't think I've ever said before publicly because frankly, I'd never thought about it this way before, but I'm going to say it now because I think that time has come. I think the time has come for us as Americans to say, we will not allow anybody into our country who is a Muslim. I think it's we've reached a point where we have to say, if you are a Muslim, you're not coming into America. Now, if you are you're here already, you're an American citizen, you happen to be a Muslim, we're not going to kick you out. But and by the way, I'm not saying under no circumstances. I think there might have to be an exception because you never know what the circumstances might be. But I'm talking about as a general policy matter. If you are Muslim, you're not coming into the United States of America. We're not letting you in here from Iran. We're not letting you here and be from Afghanistan. I say there might be exceptions. So, for example, some of those people who helped our troops when we were in Afghanistan, we've let them in. But even there, we've gotten backstabbed because some people took advantage of that and came to our country and then turned out really to be America haters. So he said, I think we're at a point now where we've got to say, perhaps it's a rebuttable presumption, but the presumption from the start is, if you are Muslim, we're not letting you in. You're not coming into the United States of America. Now, you may rebut that. You may say, a person may say, yeah, I am a Muslim, but I've got children who are Christian and I want them to be raised in a Christian environment because they're in danger here. I mean, you never know what people might come up with, and there might be some things that we say, well, you know what, this really is a situation where we ought to make an exception. But I think those ought to be rare. Because look, you know what's happening in Great Britain right now, right? I mean, in Great Britain, you've got situations like, well, let's say Europe in general, not just Great Britain, Europe in general. I'm sure you've heard about this Finnish member of parliament, a woman who is a member of parliament. She had the unmitigated gall to actually quote what the scripture says about marriage. And as a result, she has been convicted and denied the right to travel. She wanted to leave and go to, where was she going? But she had some place where she was going to go. And because she is now a convicted felon, she's a member of parliament, where she's not allowed to leave her country. She's really, in effect, on arrest. This is, now that didn't have specifically to do with Islam, but of course, in many parts of Europe, you can't speak against Islam either. So I think the time has come. Now, people will raise constitutional questions, and I understand that, that they say, well, wait a minute, that might be a violation of the First Amendment. Here's why I think it's not. Because Islam is not simply a religion. It is a political and military system. Because Sharia is a governing system. And you try to transplant that governing system into a country that already has a governing system, guess what you get? Well, you get conflict. You get a clash. They're dealing with that in Europe right now. We're dealing with it to some extent here. I mean, my understanding is Dearborn, Michigan is really a Muslim city now. And you go to Dearborn, Michigan, it's like being somewhere in a Muslim country where you hear the call to prayer sounding all over the city. And my guess is that true Christians probably have been moving out because they don't want to hear it. But they've taken over. That kind of thing is going to happen if we continue to bring people in here. Now, we already know that Muslims are having about 5 times more children than Americans who are native to the country and the people born here. Muslims are having about 5 times more children. Frankly, folks, you keep letting them in, they continue to reproduce at that pace, they'll just outbreed us. And I've said, we haven't heard any news on this, but I guarantee you, if we could actually do the analysis and figure it out, how many Muslims voted for Mamdani, citizens or not, by the way, I think we'd be shocked to know that Mamdani was really in large measure boosted by the Muslim population of New York. Now, this guy's running around New York talking about arresting Benjamin Netanyahu as a war criminal. Yeah, I think it's time to say, you know, we got to take a hard look at that. And I think really any system, I wouldn't say that forever and always it would be only Muslims. I think anything that purports to be a military and governmental system that people believe in and adhere to from other parts of the world, those people should not be welcome in our country. And if they want to come, I think what they'd have to do is renounce that system. I don't even know whether it'd be fair to ask, because that gets me close to trying to force conversions and all that. So I'm a little bit skittish on that. But a Muslim would have to say, look, I renounce Sharia. I don't believe in it. I don't want to have any part of it. I want to come to America. I want to be under the Constitution of the United States. And then you got the issue of taqiyya, whether that person may be lying and deceiving in order to advance the cause of Islam. I know, folks, it's problematical and it's tough for me to say it. I mean, in the sense that people say, well, man, you're going to ban all Muslims. But I think for the survival of our own country, that may be where we are. And it may be that if we don't, we're going to be committing societal suicide. You remember when President Trump stopped visitation and people coming into the country from certain Muslim countries? He didn't just use Islam as the reason, but they were Muslim countries. And the left just went crazy. Went crazy. Well, that didn't last very long. I thought the president did the right thing. And I think we're at a point now where we're at, as they like to say, we're at an inflection point. I mean, what is it going to take? Here I'm talking about this issue, and this very day, a man is attacked in Manhattan, stabbed, looks like he'll live, stabbed while somebody's yelling Allah Akbar. I mean, how many people do we have in this country? How many Muslims do we have in the country right now who are really sleepers? In other words, just laying low, biding their time, thinking when the moment comes, we're going to carry out our attack. We're going to carry out our intentions. And again, folks, let me say this as well, since I've said something that I know some people at least would consider to be extremely radical, but I'm thinking about the well-being of our country. It's one of the reasons why I love President Trump so much, because I think President Trump thinks that way. He thinks what is good and right for America. But let me say, I don't hate Muslims. I really don't. But I tell you what, I do hate Islam. I do. I hate it because it's a false way. But I don't hate Muslims. I love them. I pray for them. I had Mohammed Faridi on the program. He's a former Muslim. Muslims in Iran are getting converted. He said they're seeing Islam for what it really is through this regime. Praise God for it. So we don't hate Muslims. We shouldn't. I've got Muslims in my family. They wouldn't like hearing what I'm saying right now, but that's not going to stop me from saying it. But I do love them. I wish they hadn't gone that way. I wish they hadn't been led that way by a man who was just basically just led around by the nose by the devil. But they did, because, you know, once that's introduced into a family, it's like putting poison in the water. You know, everybody drinks it and everybody gets sick. I love them, but I hate Islam. hate it. And the Bible teaches we're supposed to think that way. Psalm 119, verses 104 and 128 says essentially the same thing. All your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. Therefore, I hate every false way. I hate it. And you know where we get that from? God. God doesn't hate people, but he hates lying. He hates falsehood. Proverbs 6 says, these six things the Lord hates, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue. And it goes on, of course, to say other things that really demonstrate God's total antipathy for lying and for misleading and for deceiving. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, that's Satan. That's Satan. So it begins with a proud look, a lying tongue, and ends with a false witness who speaks lies. So it starts with lying and ends with lying, and it says God hates it. So we're in good company. We don't hate the people, but we hate the lies. And members of my family got caught up in Jehovah's Witnesses, and I love them, but I tell you something, folks, I hate that false watchtower society mess. Because I know what it did. I personally witnessed how it twists people all up and gets people all confused, and it just messes them up, messes up their lives. I was growing up as a young boy with family members that caught up in Jehovah's Witnesses. They predicted 9 times the world was going to end, and the world didn't end. You had people dropping out of college, people doing all kinds of stupid things because they had this date. The world was going to end. They did that 9 times. They finally, that's pretty stupid that it took 9 times. But finally, after the 9th time, they gave up and said, well, maybe we better not try for 10. And yet people who still stayed in that mess, which just goes to show the degree to which they got control over their minds and had come up with some explanation. Oh, well, we might have had it right based on the calendar. We thought some explanation. Oh, okay. Well, that's understandable then. So let's do it again. Let's pick another date. I hate that mess. And we're supposed to. But I love them. That's why I have, my church has an early morning prayer call. And we pray. We pray all the time for our loved ones and people, you know, that are lost. But we have certain themes in their times, and we pray particularly for family members. And times we pray for evangelism to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's nobody, no matter how reprobate they may be, no matter how messed up they may be, that we won't pray for them because we don't like those people. No, we pray for them. Pray for Muslims. Pray for these leftists who are caught up in Marxism and socialism and communism and atheism. You know, pray for Buddhists, pray for Hindus, pray for these people who are lost, but they think they're enlightened. Pray for them because they need to come out. We love them. We want those people to be in heaven with us. But we got to stand against the lies. Because Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. Well, then lies will put you and keep you in bondage. Well, that's going to do it for today, folks. Great to be with you as always. You know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.